podcast. I'm Cultural Drifter, aka Joey. So still getting everything kind of set up with the podcasting and stuff between this one and the Drifting Through Smoke that I do with my wife, Smoking Fox Says. But nothing real exciting happened this week. But there was something that I came across that I found pretty interesting, just because I'm a nerd and I like all sorts of weird shit. So this is a BuzzFeed article that I came across, and I will link the article in the blog post. But this is 13 facts about animal brains, right? Which, found it fascinating. So the first one is squids have donut-shaped brains. I don't even know how that works, what that looks like. I found that fast. Leeches have 32 brains. Now, I don't understand what the point of having that many brains is, but that's kind of crazy. Sea squirts, they eat their own brain. And if you don't know what a sea squirt is, there's pictures of everything in the article. They're gross looking. Ostrich's brains are smaller than its eyeballs. How does that even fucking work? Their brain, the thing that makes their whole body function on a regular basis, is smaller than their eyeballs. That's crazy to me. Starfish don't have a centralized brain. So that means it's just like scattered throughout itself, right? I don't know. Nobody cares about stickleback fish. Never even heard of that. Sperm whales. Interesting thing about them is that while their brain size is actually the largest, when you look at the ratio between its brain and the brain size and the body size, it's actually teeny tiny. So that's kind of crazy. Now, this one kind of creeped me out a little bit, which was that a spider's brain is so big that it spills into its legs. There's a few other ones on here that aren't really worth mentioning, except for that a cockroach can live for weeks. You heard me correctly. Weeks. That's plural. Multiple weeks without a head and brain. So that's just fucking crazy. Now, this last one here is that there's a certain type of fungus that can take over an ant's brain and literally turn it into a zombie. A fungus. Fungus, a non-animal, can take over a regular animal and control it, which is actually brings me to a movie that I recently watched, okay? The Hallow. Now, it came out a couple of years ago, okay? But it is really, really interesting. It is a, I guess you could call it a B-rate horror flick? What do they categorize? Yeah, it's a horror flick. But the effects, holy mackerel, the makeup design and all the, it is incredible. It came out in 2015. There's not a well-known cast. You have Joseph. Yeah, no. You don't really have anyone that, at least that I have seen in other things. But the premise of this story is basically there's a family, and they move out into the middle of nowhere in Ireland. And the father of the family is some sort of, all we know is, tree scientist. And he's going into the woods to study what is happening with the trees. Now, the local people that have been living there are privy to this folklore of demonic creatures that live in the woods. The main the family that the story's about, they don't necessarily believe that until it's a little too late. And boy, it was something. It was something to watch. I don't regret the hour and a half that I invested into this movie. It was something different. And it was super cool, so I highly recommend that. Couple movies that I did watch this week. The Little Hours, okay, came out this year. It is with, it's got actually a pretty heavy-hitting cast. Got Alison Brie, Dave Franco, Kate Micucci, Aubrey Plaza, John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Fred Armisen, Nick Offerman. I mean, good grief. You got, and the list goes on and on of people that are in this flick. And it is, it's different. It's very different. It's set in the Middle Ages, but the language is of present day, which leads to some interesting interactions between it all. Dave Franco does such a good job. Essentially, you got Dave Franco, who's a young servant that has to flee from his master, played by Nick Offerman, because he had sex with Nick Offerman's wife, right? So he has to flee, and while he flees, he runs into John C. Reilly, who plays the father, who is the like main manager of a covenant that is full of emotionally unstable nuns, Aubrey Plaza and Kate Micucci being one of them, a couple of and Alison Brie as well. And boy, I tell you, it is Dave Franco has to play a deaf mute when he goes into the covenant to help, and he has to keep that cover up the whole time, and so it's, they run into shenanigans and buffoonery throughout. But I highly recommend it. It's a really great flick, and it's super funny. The other really funny movie that I watched this week was The House with Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler. That I was cracking up the entire time. The brilliant thing about it, this movie, was typically when you see Amy Poehler, she's a little bit more reserved. I would say probably the exception to that would be The Wet Hot American Summer. She's a little bit more in your face throughout that. But, you know, Parks and Rec and Leslie, she's sweet. She's nice. And you don't really get to see an edgy, angsty side of her. And because we got so used to Leslie Knope on Parks and Rec. And in The House here, they do a switcheroo, because you would expect Will Ferrell to be the one that is doing all the awkward, he's the crazy parent, you know what I mean? And that is not the case with this movie. Will Ferrell, whose nickname in the movie is The Butcher, and the previews tell you why, but he plays it kind of straight, and he is the more responsible, quote-unquote, parent. I guess neither of them are very responsible. But he plays the responsible one, and it's Amy Poehler that's, you know, humping a torch, telling people to check their marshmallows. So that I found super hilarious. So I highly recommend The House as well when you're talking about movies to watch. As far as other things that are coming up, the second part of the Drifting Through Smoke podcast is going to be coming out here in on Wednesday, which is the American Horror Story, the first three episodes. We just recorded about Inception, so that'll be cool. And other than that, the last thing I want to leave you with is a new song. So my entire life, I have, I don't want to say, I've, people have told me my entire life I've had selective hearing. I maintain that it's because of all the performances that I did in high school with large speakers next to me with no ear protection. But I suppose that there's a part of me that once I focus in on something, like I'm in there, especially like if I'm watching a movie or a TV show, once it starts and I want to watch it, like I am focused in, I'm dialed in, I want to absorb the content that I was meant to. And then when people start talking or saying other stuff, I mean, people, I grew up with a little brother, I learned how to block it out. So unless I know that you're talking to me, I have no idea what's happening. And sometimes the thing that I'm watching is like behind you. So it looks like I'm looking at you, but I'm not. I'm paying attention to something else, and you should know that I have no idea what you're saying. Now, fortunately for me, is I'm pretty good at just making shit up. So normally if I find out that you've asked me a question over something, I'll give some sort of general blanket statement that would work for just about anything. And or sometimes, depending on the situation, I'll just be like, yeah, I will. I'll just be straight up. Yeah, didn't hear anything you said. Huh? What? So with that, you know, that's what this song was was based on, the fact that I've always been told I have selective hearing. And it's not that I don't care what you have to say. It's not, especially when it comes to my wife. Sometimes she thinks that, you know, maybe I don't care what she has to say. That is, it's not true. I'm just not focused on what you're saying. And it doesn't mean I love you any less. But if the TV's on, especially on a show that you wanted to watch together, and then you start telling me about other stuff, probably not going to hear you. but I still love you. And so that is where Smoking Fox says, even though sometimes I don't always hear what you're saying, doesn't mean I don't want you around. And that is what this song is all about, selective hearing. So here we go, the world premiere of...
It comes out absurd. You look me in the face and tell me stuff. I'm looking back, but can you call my bluff? The sound that you're making, I can make up the tone. But if you ask me to repeat the words you said, the shit I moan.
That was Selective Hearing. I hope you guys enjoyed. Keep checking back on the blog. Keep checking on YouTube. I'll be posting everything on there. That's the best place to go on YouTube. It's Cultural Drifters, the channel name. The blog is culturaldrifter.weebly.com for updated content and videos and music. And I'll be putting up Selective Hearing next week solo. So if you want to just listen back to that by itself, we'll do that. I already posted Ring Ding-a-Ling from the last episode solo up on the YouTube and on the blog. So keep checking back. Thanks for joining and listening. If you want to hear me talk about anything or have a subject that you want to know a little bit more about but just don't feel like looking into it yourself, hit me up. I'd be more than happy to talk about shenanigans. That's what I do. So with that, thanks again and keep on drifting.